Ariel Helwani joins us once again. Of course, you can from MMAfighting.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at Ariel Helwani. Ariel, welcome back to the show, my man. How you doing?
Great to be back. Now, I'm wondering, free wing Wednesday, does that mean unlimited wings?
20 wings, yeah. Do you need more than 20?
Well, sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, I buy the first 20, and then after that, you know, you're on your own.
All right.
But rarely, right. They're pretty big wings. They're not the little wimpy ones. So I've rarely seen anybody ask for seconds. So that's good.
Okay, fair enough.
That's good. I'm sure, you know, if there's a few of the heavyweight guys from MMA, yes, they'd probably eat more than 20.
Absolutely.
I guess let's start with the light heavyweight champ. John Bones Jones checks himself into rehab, and now he's already out. What do you know about this story? How concerning is this for the UFC?
Well, you know, he has yet to make any public comments about the whole situation. Members of the team have talked, and of course his mother was the one who told the world that he only spent one night in rehab. I think it remains to be seen. You know, this isn't the first time that John Jones has stumbled. Everyone remembers a couple of years ago that he was arrested for a DUI, crashed his Bentley. So it isn't the first time he's rebounded from that. I think a lot of people are hoping that he'll rebound from this. And it's a very weird situation because, you know, he was tested randomly on December 4th. That's when the test showed that he had traces of the main metabolite in cocaine in his system. And they only came out with the news 2 days after his fight against Daniel Cormier a month later. But it comes out later that the Nevada Athletic Commission, who tested him, shouldn't have tested him for recreational drugs. Recreational drugs aren't banned substances that far out from a fight.
Okay.
So they call it an administrative oversight. It should never come out. It's a very tricky story that I think has many more layers and chapters to it.
So that's interesting. I didn't know, because now I obviously knew that cocaine's not considered a performance-enhancing drug by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, we've seen, like, Grant Fuhr got suspended for a year in the NHL because he used it. It's still one that some people, you know, you don't necessarily want your champion testing positive for, even if they weren't supposed to test for it, correct?
Well, here's the technicality, right?
Okay,
so there's something called in-competition and out-of-competition. The Nevada Athletic Commission follows the WADA code, World Anti-Doping Agency code, highly respected organization. So according to WADA, in competition means 12 hours before a fight or any amount of time needed after a fight to collect urine or blood samples. So in competition, in that 12-hour stretch before a fight, things like cocaine, marijuana, they are banned substances. You will be punished, fined, you know, potentially stripped of your title if you test positive for those recreational drugs in competition. Now, if you test positive for recreational drugs out of competition, which means 3 weeks, 4 weeks, a month before a fight, recreational drugs such as cocaine are not considered bad substances. Things like steroids, HGH, EPO, performance-enhancing drugs are banned substances in and out of competition, but recreational drugs are not banned out of competition. I hope that makes sense.
No, that totally makes sense. And so this was obviously an out-of-competition test, and that's
exactly
why he's not going to lose his belt and be stripped of it. But is okay, so then looking past that, just from the, you know, the moral issue, you know, it's an illegal substance, right? Cocaine's still illegal. How is that a concern? What if any, can the UFC do about it?
Well, yeah, you know, and that brings up another issue. The UFC has a code of conduct, and it pretty much clearly states that, you know, they don't condone this kind of activity. But they told me that they were happy that he was taking the necessary steps to correct this issue. Now, that involved going to rehab treatment. Who knows what he's doing outside of that. But at this time, they've decided not to punish him in any way. And so, you know, that's where we stand. And then it goes back to the whole issue of he should not have been tested for this to begin with. The Nevada Athletic Commission Executive Director Bob Bennett told me that it was an administrative oversight to test him for this. For example, on December 18th, 14 days later, he was tested again, randomly out of competition. He was not tested for street drugs like cocaine and marijuana. It was essentially an anomaly that he was tested for this stuff. So I think there's this kind of this dilemma. How do we punish a guy that wasn't supposed to be tested for this thing when at the end of the day he is, you know, caught having this stuff in the system? A very tricky situation that the UFC has never had to deal with before.
What now, you talked about Jones and his DUI in the past, as Ariel Helwani joins us talking MMA. Is Jones going to take a leave? What if he was only in rehab for a day, obviously feels that he doesn't need it. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, you know, look, these guys, they fight 2-3 times a year max, typically, you know, once every 4, 5, 6 months. So he just fought January 3rd. He was going to take some time off. That was a grueling fight against Daniel Cormier. He hasn't talked, like I said, to the media, so we don't really know where he's at. All indications are he seems to be in a pretty good place. I mean, of course, this isn't the best of news. This isn't how he wanted to spend the weeks after that great win. I can assure you of that, but I don't expect him, at least right now, unless this turns out to be a bigger issue, I don't expect him to be on the sidelines for a considerable amount of time. I mean, I don't expect also to see him back before at least, you know, April, May, June, July, that time frame, because the UFC is already booked up until that point. So the beauty of this sport in that sense is a guy is allowed to kind of sit back, relax, and, you know, gather himself again.
Rory McDonald, why can't he get a title shot?
Yeah, this is a very interesting one. You know, after he beat Tarek Safadin in October, the UFC came out publicly and said he is going to get a title shot. And this is a guy who's done everything that the UFC has asked. He lost to Robbie Lawler in November of 2013, but in 2014, he won 3 straight against 3 very tough opponents. And then Robbie Lawler and Johnny Hendricks fight on December 6th. They have a great fight, a close fight, and the UFC says, you know what, we're going to make the trilogy. But then just yesterday, they announced something completely different. They say, you know what, Robbie Lawler actually wants an extended period of time off. So he's going to sit on the sidelines for a little bit, and let's be honest, he deserves it. He's been very active as of late. So Johnny Hendricks is going to fight Matt Brown in Dallas, and that's on March 14th. Rory McDonald's going to fight Hector Lombard on April the 25th in Montreal. So we'll see what happens after those fights. But, yeah, I mean, I think he deserves it, and he's done everything that he can to get it. But he has a very good attitude about the whole thing. He's just going to keep on keeping on and beating guys, and he fully expects to get it in the near future.
We're joined by Ariel Helwani from MMAfighting.com. Ariel, you had a chance to speak with CM Punk a handful of times over the last couple of years, most noticeably right after it was announced he was joining the UFC. You know this guy pretty well. Guess your gut reaction, how do you think he's going to do in his first couple fights?
You know, I honestly feel like that's a question that no one can really answer. I mean, he just decided last week where he was going to train for this fight. That's at Rufus Sport in Milwaukee, home to, you know, UFC lightweight champion Anthony Pettis. But he's a very green fighter. He doesn't have a lot of experience in this world. Yes, he's trained in jiu-jitsu and all that stuff, and he's done, you know, kempo karate, but never, you know, preparing for a fight. So I kind of feel like we can't really, you know, really have a say on this whole situation until, you know, at least 6 months go by, 6, 7, 8 months, and then we'll get a sense for, you know, how good of a fighter this guy can be. Right now it's uncharted territory for everyone involved, but, you know, his coaches seem to be pretty pleased thus far. I'll tell you this about CM Punk. He's a very prideful person. He's not going to go out there and make a mockery of himself or the sport or the UFC. He wouldn't do this if he didn't believe that he can actually go out there and be successful. And he's not looking to do a one-and-done fight. He wants to have a career here. It's something he's always wanted to do. So don't expect some kind of, you know, celebrity boxing-like performance, a freak show, if you will. He's gonna put in the time, and only when he's ready and feels comfortable and confident will he actually go out there and agree to a fight. But right now, I think it's just too early.
Do you have any idea when? Like, I know you just said we don't know, but when he first announced, he was thinking maybe sometime in late 2015. Is there an event kind of in that last 3 months he may be targeting? And do we know who he's going to be fighting his first time yet?
We don't know because, it's too early. He said he would like for it to happen in 2015. So my guess is, you know, if it does, it would be definitely in the fourth quarter, towards the end of the fourth quarter. But who knows? It might even be 2016. UFC has so many events, essentially, you know, one every week. So there's not one in particular, but it will definitely be a big event, a big pay-per-view. You know, they're not going to, you know, have this one fly under the radar.
Ariel, you know, we talk about Rory McDonald, and, you know, you explained that situation's rather odd. Do you think there's any chance George St. Pierre comes back?
It's funny you say that. I actually just spoke to George today via text message.
Ooh, okay.
And I asked if he had made any this is an exclusive for you guys, because
nice.
I haven't mentioned this anywhere. I asked him if he made any decision as far as his future is concerned, and he said no decision. So it's not a sexy exclusive, but I asked him that because the UFC is returning to Montreal, and some thought that maybe there was a chance he would come back. In my heart of hearts, I believe he will. He looks to be in amazing shape, tremendous shape. I mean, the guy is more fit than ever, it seems. And he's training hard. He came back from ACL surgery. I feel like he will, but nothing would surprise me at this point. I mean, I don't really need to see GSP fight again, but I could see a scenario where, you know, Anderson Silva beats Nick Diaz on January 31st, and now they say this is the time to make this fight that we've been talking about for so long. No belts are attached to either guy. They're trying to make big fights in 2015. I could see that scenario coming about. Who knows? I think it would be a lot of fun, but again, he has nothing to prove. He's been through it all. He's done it all. He's defended the title so many times. I really think it's up to him, and in my heart of hearts, I think it will happen, but that's just a 100% guess. That's no information. He told me just today he hasn't decided yet, and I truly believe that.
Did you ever get an explanation? Was he just burnt out why he stepped away?
I think it was a mix of a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah, that was one of it. He said he was disappointed with the lack of drug testing. He said he had some personal issues. I just think it was a perfect storm. You know, he was feeling a little burnt out after coming back from those knee injuries and then having to fight a bunch of fights in a row and grueling fights as well. He took some damage in those. So, you know, hey, I mean, to me, you're a great champion if you defend your title and you do so successfully and in impressive fashion. You're also a great champion when you say, you know what, I know when to say when. And something's going to happen. I'm not into it. I don't feel like I'm performing at my best. And it takes a lot of guts, especially in combat sports where you see guys stick around for too long. It takes a lot of guts to do that. So that decision impresses me more than anything George St. Pierre has ever done in his career.
Now, you mentioned there they want to have big fights in 2015. Which other ones do you think are realistic possibilities?
Well, the first one that comes to mind is Conor McGregor versus Jose Aldo. If Conor McGregor wins this Sunday in Boston, they want to do that fight either in Ireland in a stadium, which would potentially be the biggest show in UFC history, or in Las Vegas. Of course, we have Anderson Silva versus Nick Diaz coming up. They're doing a fight in Sweden on January 24th, which will right now be the second biggest show in UFC history. It's scaled for 30,000 people. That will be on Fox, headlined by Alexander Gustafsson versus Anthony Rumble Johnson. And even in February, there's another big show, Chris Weidman versus Vitor Belfort, Ronda Rousey versus Cactus Gano. So, you know, of the fights that are already announced, the first 2 months are pretty nuts for the UFC. And then who knows what can happen. You know, if George comes back, you know, there's still that talk of Brock Lesnar potentially coming back. A lot of things can happen. 2014 was a very down year for the UFC. They had a lot of injuries, but that means that all these people are coming back in 2015 and potentially some others as well. So it's all shaping up to be a good year. Now we just have to hope that no one gets seriously injured along the way.
Ariel Preach, to have you back in the show, man. All the best in 2015. We'll keep reading your stuff.
Thank you very much. All the best to you guys as well.